Good morning, Hope Church. How are you doing today? Once again, good to see you. God bless you. Come on, let's give a hand clap to the Lord. We'll get into this. Amen. We started this series. We've been talking about He is, I am. Say it with me. He is,
He is.
I am.
I am.
Come on, say
He is,
He is. I am.
I am.
One more time, everybody. Say
He is.
I am.
I am.
Oh, you guys are awesome today. God bless you in this second service. Listen, we've been talking about the challenge in the mix here is that what do we do in life when we find ourselves trying to be better, but not getting better, trying to do more, but not getting more, trying to have more, but still not having enough, trying to get healed, but still struggling with a sickness. What's the problem in the mix? I know from the Word of God, that God's Word works. It is true. It's the defining line for all matters that we deal with. Many people don't go to the Word. You can, because the Word literally talks about pretty much everything you would ever deal with, not specifically, but even by principles. Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my Word will not fail. Isaiah 55:11 says, God's Word goes forth, it will not return void. So the challenge can't be the Word's got a problem. Because if we're not careful, if we've been in church long enough, and if something's not working, we will, and I know you haven't or won't, but some in the church world have, will redefine the Bible to match their world. They will interpret the Bible, well, that's not really what Jesus meant because I knew somebody who it didn't work for. Really? And when you begin to define the Bible by your own experiences, you will not come out ahead. But when you allow your experiences to be defined by the Bible and be willing to say, all right, God, is there something missing? Because I've been praying for healing and I'm still not feeling it. I've been giving and I'm trying to do this thing right, but I'm not seeing a blessing yet. What am I missing in the mix? When you're open like that, God can be open and speak into your life and show you from His Word. Because like David said, I'm like a book, God, search me. Show me where I'm missing something in my life. Is there a path that I'm on that I shouldn't be on? Is there something I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing? Is there something I should be doing? Show me. Because when you're that thick skin, and a lot of people in the world aren't, because they want to just feel that they're right. Everything around them's wrong, but they just want to feel they're right. And then they'll get critical about the people who say anything different. And that's not what your Heavenly Father has for you. God has some amazing stuff for you. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man. The things that God has for those who love Him. See, God has some stuff, some things. God don't mind you having things. He just doesn't want things to have you. And healing and provision and blessing and peace and rest and a great relationships and all these things and more added to that come out of the covenant of what Jesus provided for you. See, you don't have to be bound because by His stripes you're healed, but also He has set you free from any demonic activity that would hold you back. So if you're like, man, I've been under this attack, well, you don't have to be under the attack. You can be over it, fly above it, rise above it, and win in that battle. Amen?
Amen.
You can be free in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You say, but I've had this addiction so long. Well, once you get the revelation of what we're talking about, you can begin to wave bye-bye to that addiction and say, you're not coming back anymore. You're on your way out, and do not come back. Do not look back. Don't even think about coming back, you or your seven friends. Can I get an amen? There's something in this message, and our goal in this series is that we will see more and hear from you more breakthrough testimonies than from any other series we've ever done. Because we try, but yet we struggle, and we just miss the mark, and we don't know why. Have you ever been in that place? God, I don't know what I'm doing. It seems like I'm doing the right thing. And just doing the right thing might not get you to the right place all the time. Pastor, you tell me to do the wrong thing? No, but I'm going to show you what is the most right thing for you to do. Because many times our right thing that we're doing is literally a copy of what somebody else has done. Well, it worked for them. It should work for me. And we're talking about the context. He is, I am, where His identity impacts your reality. Now, I'm not talking about our church reality. Because people will tie that in. You come to church after so many years, you start saying, well, that's Sunday church. Monday's the real world. Well, let's just get real so we know what we're talking about. I'm not talking about just what you celebrate on Sunday. I'm talking about what you wake up to on Monday. It's one thing to say you're blessed and the head and not the tail and above always, never be beneath. And you're more than a conqueror on Sunday. And you can say, praise God, I'm blessed. But what's your checkbook look like on Friday? See, we want his identity to impact your reality. It's one thing to say, by his stripes, I'm healed. But if on Tuesday, you're taking more pain medicine because you can't and trying to manage the pain, the doctor said, this is all we can do is we'll get you in a pain management system. That means here's some pills, deal with it. But if you're still stuck with that system, then you haven't had his identity impact your reality. Because his identity can and will impact your reality. To the place that even the doctor says, I don't know what to tell you. That disease is gone. See, it's one thing just to encourage people of what could be, but it's another thing for you to access what really belongs to you. Can I get an amen? And we got to walk this thing out through the word of God. Well, pastor, I tried. Well, maybe you're doing it the wrong way. Maybe you're doing it the right way, but not long enough. I can't give you one piece of the equation and you run with it because it won't work. You need the whole recipe. You don't just take one ingredient and try to go bake a great cake. I don't know much about baking, but if I ask you, what's the most important ingredient? You say sugar, and I run home and pour a pound of sugar in a pan and throw it in the oven, I'm not going to get a great cake. And I come back and say, what's your problem? You told me it was the sugar. You didn't stay long enough to hear the whole recipe. In Matthew's Gospel 6, just write this down. Challenge everything with the Word of God. Challenge everything. Me, anybody, everybody who talks, challenge it with the Word of God. Matthew 6, Jesus is talking to you. He's telling the people, listen, your Father knows that you have need of stuff. But let me put it in Greg Bruce translation. I noticed that you spend all your energy to get the stuff, the clothes, the food, the things. Your Father knows you have need of it, but you're doing it the wrong way because you're doing it just like the world does it. That still relates to us today, does it not? And Jesus says a verse that we quote so many times, but I think we can miss out. And he says, you know what I mean? The Father knows you need this, but seek first the kingdom of God. He wasn't saying what you need is not important. He wasn't saying what you want is not important. He's showing you how to get everything that God has for you. See, greed is wanting what doesn't belong to you. We're talking about you accessing everything that God has for you. Amen? And if I'm dealing with sickness and God has already purchased healing through Jesus on the cross of Calvary, by his stripes you were healed. If that's available, I can't speak for you. I can speak for myself. If it's available, I want it. If it's been paid for, I want it. For the three of us that want what God has for us. Well, I'm just trying to be humble. No, that's not being humble, to say no to God, what he paid for through his son for you. Well, you know, that's extra. I just need to be saved. Well, let me help you out. The word saved in the Greek is sozo, and it encompasses or includes all these things for you. And we say, well, wait a minute. Don't do it like the world system. Seek first. What was he telling us? Seek first. He's saying, I'm showing you how to get this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added to you. You don't have to struggle. They'll be added to you. But you got to seek first the kingdom. Oh, and that means go to church. Praise God, you go to church. But that's not exactly what it's saying. Because I know a lot of people who go to church are still not getting all that God has for them. Or living the life that God has for them. Amen. So what's in the mix that I'm missing? What am I missing from the recipe? He said, seek first the kingdom of God. A better way of saying that is seek how the king, make the priority in your life how the king does stuff. You could break that down in our world by saying, what is the policies and procedures of the king? Have you ever got a job before? Hopefully, yes. Have you ever changed jobs? Hopefully, yes. If you change jobs, one of the things you automatically realized, hopefully, is that the way you did stuff at your old job there, you shouldn't bring it into your new job here. And if it's a good company, especially if it's a big company, they'll probably show you or give you a book or flyers or information or pages and say, here's how we do things around here. You got a problem? This is the person you talk to. If you want vacation time, this is the form you fill out. Can you imagine showing up at work and they say, where have you been the last 2 days? Oh, you know, I just wanted to take a couple days off. You didn't fill out a form. Well, I didn't have to fill out a form there at my old job. They might look at you and say, this also was going to be your old job. You can say, what's the problem? I did it the way I've always done it when I worked for them. And they're going to say, that's the way they did it. That's not the way we do it. And you can't take the way they did it and bring it in the way we do it and succeed. It's frustrating and many times going to get you into problems. Jesus is saying that. Don't do it the way the world system does it, because you're now in God's system. When you try to bring that system into this system, you're not going to succeed. They succeed, or they strive for the things. If you do it their way here, it doesn't match the policies and procedures of God. Follow God's policies and procedures. When you do it God's way, not your way, you will win. You will win. What is God's way? Hebrews chapter 6 said that we need to imitate or follow those who went ahead of us, who through faith, say faith, and patience inherit the promises of God. Now listen to me. You receive from God. God's system is a system of faith. God's system is a system of faith and patience. That means it doesn't happen overnight. Matthew 13, you don't plant a seed and it produces fruit the next day, but it will produce. It does bring a change. Faith and patience. What do? We bring in the world system. If I just get angry, or if I really, really, really want it, Jesus, you know I really, really, really want it. You should give it to me. Has that worked before? But I cried 14 tears. Surely God would answer prayer with 14 tears. One even dripped off my cheek and down into my little baby who said, Mama, what's wrong? And surely God would answer that prayer. And that sounds so emotionally wonderful. Surely God would answer that prayer. But God's not moved. That's not his system. By tears. God's not hard-hearted. He created his system and said, I'm showing you how to get all the stuff you want added into your life. Don't do it the world's way. Don't stress out. Don't become anxious. Don't become angry. Don't become fearful. Don't become panicky. Because some people think that their heartfelt prayer is literally a panic prayer. That's not moving God. What moves God?
Faith.
What moves God?
Faith.
Faith. Romans tells us faith comes by hearing the word of God. So if I want to operate and receive and have my prayers answered, I have to connect it to what God says in his word. I talk to people and say, Pastor, I need to join with me in prayer. I'm believing for a better job. I'm believing for healing. And I'll ask them, are you in faith? Absolutely. And then I'll say, what's the verse? What do you mean, what's the verse? The Bible says that God will provide, right? What's your verse? I don't have a verse. Well, wait a minute. We know everything about our situation, but nothing about God's process. And we wonder why it's not working. Don't be mad. Let's listen. Because you can get angry and say, well, this is the way I've always done it. And you can keep doing it that way and still make it to heaven, but you'll never access all that God has for you. If I give you a debit card and say, there's money in the account for you, here's the PIN, you might choose your own PIN number, but it's not going to give you access until you follow the one who made the provision. See that? And so we get frustrated at God and say, his word doesn't work. No, his word always works. We're just not working his word. I'm believing for this. Great, you know what you want. What's the verse? Well, and let me just tell you in love. If you don't have a verse that comes out of your heart, then you don't have a revelation. No revelation, you have no faith. You don't have no faith. You're just hoping. You're just agreeing that God can do it. Oh, I know he can. Well, praise God, but will he? And there's a connection here. A key verse that we looked at last week is Hebrews 11. Let's look at that. Hebrews 11 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them. Last week we talked about that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek the reward. That's not what it says. It didn't say though he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek the reward. That's the world's way of doing it. Now, I'm not saying you should sit at home and do nothing and just hope God pays your bills and you're not going to work. That's foolishness. Say foolishness.
Foolishness.
That's not faith. That's foolishness. We'll get into that on another day. You got to bring all the ingredients together to make a great recipe and make a great cake. This is not you do nothing and just say, God, all right, it's all on you. I'm going to sit in my easy chair and I'm going to watch TV and I know you'll provide. No, you're going to go hungry. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What if I told you, and you came up and said, Pastor, I'm believing for a job, and I tell you, you know what, I got a friend, and he's looking to hire somebody. Exactly, you would be a perfect match for this job. In fact, it pays you 3 times of what you are getting paid right now. 5 weeks vacation. 401k with matching. Come on, somebody. Benefits, profit sharing, and bonuses. All you have to do is to talk to him, and he'll tell you what to do, and then you just do exactly what he tells you to do, and you'll get the job. Now, all you need to do is talk to him. He'll tell you what to do. You just do what he tells you to do, because he's the one with the job. You do what he tells you to do, and you'll get the job. You just talk to him, and whatever he tells you to do, don't add to it. You don't have the job. He has the job for you. Just do what he tells you to do. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it, and you're going to get the job. Have we communicated the goal, right? Don't add to it. Don't interpret. Just simply, Mary told the servants at the wedding, a Canaan, whatever he tells you to do, simply obey. Right? Simply obey. So there's the action. Faith without works, James says, is dead. So there's something for you to do. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what to do. You just simply obey. Stay with me. Here's the danger of the church world. We don't want to find out what to do. We just want somebody else to tell us what he told them to do. And we obey what God told somebody else to do. Right? Moses told Israel, come on, God said, bring you up to the mountain so you can meet God. No, we don't want to go. Greg Bruce translation, but this is what happened. We don't want to go. We've seen some of that stuff. We saw that cloud and that little thunder. And, you know, that's a little too much for me. So you want as you go, Moses, and you come down and tell us what God said to you. A lot of Christians want secondhand information. But secondhand information or secondhand instruction won't get you what God called you to do. So if you send your friend to talk to my friend, he might not get it right. You need to go and find him. Just listen to what he tells you and do it. And you're going to get the job. Okay? Are you ready? Here you go. So I need you to go to the airport today around 3. Don't literally do this. This is a story. All these people, Pastor, I'm at the airport. What am I supposed to do? All right. Go to the airport around 3, and at the airport, he'll be getting off the plane. He's there for a few minutes, and you just need to look for John Kingman. Okay, John Kingman, instructions, obey, bam, I got it. So you go to the airport. Are you John? No. Are you John? No. Are you John? No. John's there. Mr. Kingman's there waiting for you. But you can't benefit from what he has for you. Because you can't obey the instruction he's telling you. Because you don't know who he is. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he
is.
Revelation 3. Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my
voice,
not the knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I come in. You can't open it. He can't come in until you open up. And you can't open up until you recognize his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And the voice of another they will not follow. If you don't think this is important, think about Samuel, who when he was a young boy, before Samuel became Samuel the prophet, and Samuel's laying in bed trying to go to sleep one night, and he hears his name, Samuel, Samuel. And he rises up and goes into the room of Eli and said, what do you want? And Eli says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. It happens again. And finally, Eli says, Samuel, it's the Lord. Here's what you need to say. And so he tells him what to say. And so he goes back and lays in bed, and he hears, Samuel, Samuel. And this time, Samuel's response is different because Samuel's beginning to recognize the voice of the Lord. And he said, speak, Lord. Yeah. Let's not go too fast there. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears or listening. It wasn't until he identified and knew the voice of God before God could speak again. He heard the voice of God calling his name. But until he responded correctly, that was the end of it. But when he responded correctly, then God began to say, let me tell you more. See, God has instructions for you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. A better way of saying it is faith comes by the word being spoken into your heart by God. See, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but he will remind you the things I said. When the Spirit of God brings that word, it's like he can breathe it and make it alive into your heart. Now you have heard from God for yourself. When you get a revelation from God for yourself and you obey that, then all of a sudden you will have what he wants you to have in that area. But God's not a respecter of persons. If I did what somebody else has done, and I heard a guy on TV who said God told him to give $1,000 to this ministry, and he gave $1,000, and in 30 days, he got $30,000 back. And he told me if I do the same thing, I'm here to watch your back. I'm here to help you. Just because he said you would have the same thing, then if God didn't tell you, then it's up to him to make it happen, and he don't know you well enough to make it happen. Right? Why did it happen for him? Because God told him to do it. But if you do what God told him to do and you do it, it's not going to work like that for you. Well, God's not a respecter of persons. Well, let me give you another illustration. Jesus told Peter, step out of the boat, and he walked on the water. After the service, drive out to the Lake of the Ozarks, go to Lake St. Louis, find a big stream and get out and start. You're not going to walk. But God's not a respecter of persons. What's the difference? It's who called, who's knocking, who's telling you. See, you could do what everybody else is doing, and if it's not working, maybe that's not the thing to do. Maybe you need to find what God is speaking to you to do. And when Jesus called Peter out, he walked on the water. If he doesn't call you out of the boat to walk on the water, wisdom tells you, stay in the boat. Can I get an amen? See, your obedience with God shouldn't be throwing a dart. Wisdom tells you don't do anything until you know what God tells you to do. He that cometh God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, that he is. If you don't know who he is, then you won't know what he's saying to you. Every area is different because he is. He told Moses, Moses said, give me a name. He says, tell him I am that I am. He is the great I am. Whatever you need, he's the all-sufficient one. If you're sick, he's your healer. If you're in sin, he's your savior. If you're depressed, he's the encourager. If you don't have peace, he's the Prince of Peace. He is the all-sufficient. But I can tell you, and you hear it, but unless you get the revelation from it. That's why Jesus, we talked about this last week, that's why Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. And Jesus said, Simon Bar-Jonah, Peter, listen, flesh and blood or people haven't told you this. This is not a good idea from somebody else. This is a God idea from heaven. My Father has revealed it to you. We copy other people's God ideas. That was a God idea for them, but for you, it's just a good idea. It's not a God idea for you until you get a revelation from God about it. Gospel of John, chapter 15, last verse, and we're out of time. But John 15, are you enjoying this so far?
Yeah.
Gospel of John. Jesus said, notice this, I am, say I am.
I am.
See, his I am is going to impact your reality here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Next verse. We're going to jump to verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. He later says, without me, you could do nothing. Hear me. Let me bring balance to this. You can do stuff without Jesus. We see people do it every day. You can mess some stuff up without Jesus. Come on, somebody. This is not that if you don't serve Jesus, you can't have money, because there's people in the world that are atheists that have a lot of money. There's people in the business world that have a lot of money or fame or, you know what I mean, or what appears to be success. But I'm telling you this, that God said, I will give, if you remember when you have wealth, that it was me that gave you the power to get wealth. God gives you a power to succeed. There's an ability here, connection here. And he said he will bless you and he'll add no sorrows to it. When God blesses you, when you are doing it God's way, you can be successful, you can be blessed, you can be powerful, you can even be famous. But when you do it God's way, the right way, then there's no sorrow to it. When the world, you do it the world's way, you have sorrow. You want to? Let me just throw some basic examples. If it was just about having more that made you have a better life, then everybody with more should have a better life. Right? Logical thought, right? If more made me happy, then the people with more should be happy. But if the people with more aren't happy, what's wrong in the mix? Because the people with more that we watch on TV, athletes, movie stars, reality TV, oh Lord, you can watch their lives behind the scenes fall apart. Seventh marriage, drug addiction. If life was so good, why would you take anything that would dilute or numb or distract you from the moment? Right? I mean, if life was so good, you would stay away from anything to cause you to forget about that moment. You'd be like, man, I'm not messing with any of that stuff. Life's too good. That just caused me to miss out. But they don't do that. Why? Because they want to miss out. Why? Because it's not as good as they were hoping it would be. Because they got the stuff, but they're still empty and unhappy. They spent their whole life for more money, and they finally got the more money. Now they're stressed out that no one really likes them. They just want it for the money. They're trying to get it from me. Now I've got to do everything to keep what I got. See, God will give you success without all that stress. Abide in me. And my words abide in you. Without me, you can't do anything. There is a connection from the branch to the vine. There is a connection. I don't want to go into this too much. We'll have to do it later. Let me just give you a little teaser thought. Because the reality is, you don't need to get it. You already have it. Hear me now. The branch doesn't have to fight to draw life from the vine. It's automatic. But pastor, I'm not seeing it. Then it's not you trying to get it. There's something that's holding it back, and it's you looking to remove that. That's where the instruction comes. God said, I want you to do this. Why? Because what you haven't been done has been used as a tactic of the enemy to hold it back from you. See, the blessings of God, the healing of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, it should be an automatic flow. You're not trying to get it. No, you got to relax and let him show you what's holding it back. Abide in me, and my words abide in you. Let me, last thought. It's about being in God's presence. That's the starting point. If I'm not in God's presence, I don't know who he is. If I don't know who he is, then I won't be able to understand and recognize his voice. If I don't understand and recognize his voice, I won't be able to follow him. If I don't follow him, then I'm on my own. And the problem with what we've done in the past is not you, it's that it's just you. We got to figure out, okay, God, how do I follow your instruction? David can say with confidence, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because he knew God. At the well, and I'm trying to close, Jesus was talking to the woman, and the Samaritan woman, and he said, they got an argument of who's supposed to worship where. And he said, lady, you don't realize salvation's of the Jews. Salvation's of the Jews. And I want you to realize, we know who we worship. A lot of people know about God, but they don't know God. They can quote verses. They feel so proud of themselves that they have so much intellectual information stored in this function of their brain and memory, but they don't know him. And I'm telling you, I see more people in the church world globally as I talk to people who know about God but do not know him. Jesus said in the Gospel of John that they might know you, Father. This is life eternal, that they might know you. Those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. It's not about the step, it's about knowing him. He impacts your life. We need the presence of God in our life. More than a goosebump, more than just an occasional Sunday. You need it, not being weird, not being woo, that's weird stuff. But you need to spend time in God's presence. If that's reading the Bible, how long do I read? Until you got to read until something comes alive in your heart. How long do I pray? Until you begin to experience his presence. How long do I worship? Until you begin to experience it. I'm telling you, folks, the key is getting to know him. Everything else is secondary. Did you hear me? When God said, Moses, take the people in the promised land, I'm not going, I'll send an angel. And Moses ended and said, God, what separates us from the rest of the nations of the world? It's your presence. The devil will always give you opportunities to try to go around God. And the ends do not justify the means. We have to do it God's way. Because his presence is not an emotional thing. It's not a weird thing. It's a real thing. His presence in your life is the most important thing. And we're out of time and we have to stop there. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Amen.